Bible with us this year in our Bible reading. We have a morning reading, a noon reading, and a evening reading. The noon reading has been in the Psalms and in Proverbs. We do that. How many of you are reading through the Bible with us and staying with it? Amen. I encourage you to continue to do that, and it helps you to walk with God. And so tonight, you know, I'm thinking of a psalm, and it's Psalm number 80, Psalm 80, right in the middle of your Bible there. And when you look at Psalm 80, we'll be doing that tonight. Whenever the Spirit of God leads the writer of Scripture to repeat a word or a phrase, such as we're going to see tonight in Psalm 80, then you need to pay special attention to what you're being directed to in reading the Bible. And the writer here is a man of Asaph. He was a music leader in temple worship. He was an inspired writer, and he was a prophet of God. He wrote that famous psalm, Psalm 83, which is a prophecy about the wars that are just about to fall upon us in the Middle East, Psalm 83. But this one is Psalm 80, and he had a phrase that he kept repeating in this psalm. And first of all, look at it in verse 7. Asaph says, "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." By the way, when somebody gets saved, it's because God turned their eyes to Jesus, right? And turned them to the Lord. I was so glad to see Gabby this morning and Trevor, and they... I remember talking to them in a laundromat up here. I think I've led about 243 or 4 people to the Lord this year so far. And we had another one named Kevin while we're having lunch at Subway just yesterday. And Kevin just was friendly to us, and I got to lead him to Christ. He lives in North Scranton. Get his information there. But Gabby, I got her information, and Trevor, and she came and got baptized, joined the church, and she's been coming. It was great to see her this morning out. And when somebody gets saved, not only do they turn the soul winner to give the gospel, but they turn that person to be ready to listen. And sometimes I'm preaching and a person will say, "Yeah, I needed that message." This morning I had people come up to me and I said, "Well, you know, we're in the Lord's right hand. He has a purpose for you being here." And it says, "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." And he's saying that we not only need God to turn people to the Lord, but once we're saved, we need God's presence. We need His favor. We need His power working in and through our lives to turn us back to Him, to love God more fully than we have been loving God. And the key to your turning back to Him as a believer, your turning back to Him is to realize He's the source of your love. He's the source of your joy. He's the source of every blessing in your life. Now, that was in verse 7, but then it's repeated in verse 14 of Psalm 80. I'll read that phrase. He says, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine." He's talking about Israel. He's talking about God's people in the Old Testament. And he's saying, you know, you blessed us before. We need you to return and notice us and bless us and look down upon us. And that is so important that the psalmist was praying for God to do that and to notice him. And Israel had been departing from loving him and turning away from him. And we tend to do that. We tend to turn away from God and leave our first love. God doesn't leave us, but we leave Him. Sometimes people feel like God leaves us. If He leaves us. He doesn't really leave us. He apparently deserts us sometime because we've left him. And so he withdraws the sense of his presence in your life, and he will try to stir you up to get him to turn back to you and get close to you. And he, in kind, the psalmist had responded by God had done this to the psalmist and to the people of God. He'd responded to their leaving him by letting them eat the fruit of their own departing away from God. And they suffered many, many defeats from their enemies. And that's in Psalm 80, verse 6, where he talks about that. So when you leave your number one love, the Lord, then you may suffer for that sin by the Lord withdrawing the sense of his presence from you, his blessing in your life. Why? Because he wants you to realize you need to get that back. You need to get that back. And that's not always easy. Pilgrim's Progress talks about that. The Christian losing his scroll, which is his assurance of God's presence and favor. And he talks about going back where he lost it. And this psalmist is talking about that. Then finally, in verse 18 and 19, the same psalm, we're looking at the repeating of this same or similar phrase. He says, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and again we shall be saved. Saved as far as being born again, but also saved from the power of sin in your life, saved from a life of uselessness and fruitlessness. And God can and does hear that prayer when you pray. So I have a question tonight to ask you from this psalm. Are you asking for the Lord to turn you again? Are you asking the Lord for God to turn you again? Is there a time in your life when you sense God's presence more than you do now? Is there a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are now? Is there a time in your life when you had victories more than you do now? And if you're missing that, are you urgently asking for the Lord to turn you again? And from this psalm, I'd like to look at four things about that. Are you asking the Lord to turn you again? Then number one, then call to your God to turn your heart back. Call to your God to turn your heart back. Let me say this evening, your heart is the key to everything in your life. The heart is so important. It's what you're really thinking about inside. It is your inner thought life. It's your inner motivation. It's your inner thing that you desire, that you love. Your heart is very, very important. And the Bible says this, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Psalm 119:10. Are you serving God and seeking God with your whole heart? Do you really want his presence, the sense of his presence, with your whole heart? Or do you have other things that can stand in for that? And he's somewhere down the line. Somewhere, you know, I've got other things that are more important. And you know, there's a joke, we tell it. We're supposed to present our body as a living sacrifice to God. We put a living sacrifice on the altar, not a dead animal. We put our body and we say, Lord, I am on the altar. I seek you with my whole heart. But the problem with a living sacrifice is it crawls off the altar. We crawl off that altar, and we don't stay there with our whole heart. And your heart is the real you, you see, not the facade you put on around people, not that nice smile that you put on. The heart is the real you. It's what you're really thinking about in your default times, what you're really looking at in your default moments, what you really want when you are alone, and what's really motivating you on the inside, where only God and you know what is going on. You see, your actions in life come from your inner life, which is your heart. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Then it goes on, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart come the issues of life. So the heart is all important. And if you want to ask God to turn you again, then call to your God to turn your heart back, because that is the heart of the matter. So therefore, since your heart is the key, you have to understand that your heart is prone to wander, and you must cry to one that's greater than your heart for help. I'm sure you know the psalm, or the songwriter, not the psalm, but the songwriter says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Set your affection, the Bible says, on things above. But some of you may be losing altitude tonight. Your affection is dropping down to lesser things. Your heart is going into loving other things. And you need to watch that, you see, that wandering heart. That is not good for that to happen. And the Bible says that your eyes affect your heart. What you're looking at affects your heart. And it will get a hold of you. So you need to cry out to the Lord, listen to me tonight, for him to help you with your eyes and with your focus and what you are looking at. And so we're talking in Psalm 80 about, are you asking the Lord, if your heart is not where it should be, to turn your heart back? And the first thing I'm saying tonight from Psalm 80 verses 1 through 4 is, then call to your God to turn your heart back. Are you calling to your God to turn that heart back to him? And I want to read verses 1 and 2 now of Psalm 80, if you'll follow in your copy, about calling upon God to turn your heart back. It says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Now, he's talking about the shepherd of Israel, and he is calling upon the shepherd of Israel to turn his heart back. And in verse 1, notice there that he goes right directly to the Lord himself. Have you been doing that? Have you been spending time with God? Is he the number one person that you're spending time with? Or do you have a lot of other social media stuff that's way above your spiritual interaction with God himself? You know, the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I had a guy in our church, he said, Jesus is so real, I feel like I can reach out and touch him. Is that the way it is with you? Or is he kind of distant in your life? Are you weak on that? And notice verse 2 goes with that. He says, before Ephraim and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. And it may have been that he mentions Ephraim and Manasseh, who are the sons of Joseph, because of where they are camped around the Ark of the Covenant. And when the glory of God moved, they were the first tribes to move and to follow the Ark of the Covenant, or the glory of God that would be manifest there and move to follow the glory of God. And that is so important. And then notice verse number 3 that goes along with calling upon him to turn your heart. Verse 3 says, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine. You know, sometimes it's a cloudy day. I remember we haven't had much clouds lately. We've had a lot of sunshine, haven't we? We've had some beautiful, beautiful end of summer weather. Ken said this morning, it's the last day of summer. And I've been thanking God for every sunny day. I went out this afternoon, took a long walk and prayed. I have a certain route I like. It takes me about an hour to walk it. And it was so beautiful. And I just love it when the sun comes out and it warms me. I can feel the sun and see the wonderful azure blue sky, you know, and the late summer breeze is blowing. And that's what he's saying. Lord, make the sun come out. Make me to see very clearly that I'm yours and you're mine. And let me be warmed by your love and by your grace. And I think of that song when sometimes, the other day it was kind of cloudy and rainy, unusually so. And we went in and we're doing something. Oh, I know what we were doing. We had lunch with Mary and Owen. Every year we used to have lunch with Denny and Mary. And we were at the restaurant up there and having a buffet, an Italian restaurant. We went in. It was all cloudy and it was all overcast and rainy. I said, this is unusual, but I'm not minding it. We've had a lot of sun. And then we came out of the restaurant after a wonderful time talking and sharing and eating. And it was sunny and warm. And the clouds were gone, and it was beautiful. And I thought of that song, it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like his great love. Turn us again, verse 3 says, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. When you go through something like Erica Kirk has gone through, boy, you better have Jesus shining on you. When everything's going well and you're having a great time, you might not sense your need for the Lord. But oh, when you're going through that, it's so important that he is there. And, you know, the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, 1 John, it's all about fellowship with the Lord, personal. And he said that if your heart condemn you, that God is greater than your heart. Well, look at verse 4 of Psalm 80. We're talking about you praying, calling upon the Lord, calling upon him to turn your heart back. He says, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Now, that's a strange statement, isn't it? How long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? Now, we might be able to say God is angry with our sins. When we sin, he doesn't like it. He may chasten us, and he doesn't like it when we sin. And when we replace him and turn to other things, he doesn't like it. When we forget him day after day for a long time and put him in second place and third place and so forth. But it's strange for the Lord to be angry with our prayers. And as I think about that, there's two reasons why he might be angry with our prayers. And one of those reasons might be that our prayers are not really to get right with him. They're just kind of a ritual and a routine. And we may be praying for the wrong thing. I remember I got to Bible college, and the first thing I said, man, I'm out of public school now. Look at all these beautiful women. Lord, give me a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend. And I kept praying, I want a girlfriend. I was in Bible college, sooner or later, I found a girl, and I asked her out, and we started going together and everything like that. But you know what? God sent leanness into my soul spiritually. I had what my flesh wanted, a girlfriend. But it wasn't God's best, and I didn't have peace about it. He didn't want that. I was new in college. He wanted me to focus on God. I had a friend named Charlie Ware, who was the first pastor of this church. He had a reality with God I did not have. He had a walk with God that I did not have. And what I should have been asking God for is not give me a girlfriend, but God, give me a walk with God like Charlie Ware. And you know what happened? I went to Florida, and I was involved. I wasn't dating my wife. We were just involved in ministry together. The girlfriend got jealous. She heard about it. She broke up with me, and she was mad, and I wasn't even dating my wife. My heart was pure. I wasn't. But you know what? God wanted me to do that. And he took that girl out of my life, and guess what? I started getting that relationship with God that Charlie Ware had. And later on, that brought my wife and I together. And God blessed. And so what I'm saying to you is that verse 4 says, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Could it be that you're not praying for the best thing? Could it be that you're praying for him to satisfy your life? You know, it says ye have not because ye ask not, and ye ask and receive not, that ye may consume it on your own lust. You may not be asking for the best. The good can be the enemy of the best. Another reason why he may be angry with your prayer is he's really not angry with your prayer. He just seems to be angry with your prayer. In other words, he's testing how much you want it. You want a good thing, but he's testing to see how much you want it, and will you continue to pray in faith like the Canaanite lady who asked for a miracle for her child, and Jesus insulted her. You remember he called her a dog? He called her a dog. I wouldn't want to call a girl a dog. Called her a dog. And she said, well, Lord, he said, why should I give the children's bread to a dog? Yeah. Now, a dog referred to the Gentiles. He was saying that he was sent to the lost sheep of the children of Israel, to Jews. He was sent to offer them the kingdom, not to give the gospel to the world. But you know what that lady said to Jesus? She said, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And I used to do that. I'd feed the dog under the table. Dog got very fat. And that was not good. But she said even the dogs eat the bread from the children's table. And God may be testing you. You're asking him for a good thing, but he may be testing you to see if you're really serious, if this is something that you're going to stick with. So are you asking the Lord for the best thing, which is turning your heart back to him? Then you, number one, need to call to your God to turn your heart back. Because God is the one that can turn your heart back, right? And if you're honest with him and you tell him where you are, he's likely to hear, and he loves that kind of prayer request. The second thing is, are you asking the Lord to turn your heart back? Number two, then complain to God about your defeats. If you want him to turn your heart back, complain to God about your defeats while you've been away from him. It says in verse 5, he says, and I'll read it, 5 and 6, follow me. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and giveth them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us to strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh amongst themselves. Do you know why sometimes you fail in life? Do you know why sometimes you cry bitter tears in life? It's because you put things before God, and now God's taken them away from you. And you need to acknowledge that to God and say, I've suffered defeat, and it's because of the fact that my heart has been turned away from you. And I've made wrong decisions because of that. And now I'm suffering disappointment and pain, and God, you're the only one that can fix this. You're the only one that can restore me and repair my heart. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 23 that he restoreth my soul. He restoreth the joy of my salvation. You know, David had gone for Bathsheba, a beautiful woman, and led him into murder and led him into adultery. And he had bitter grief and lost a child because of it and all the rest of it. And He said, after he acknowledged his defeats in his life, he said, and of course he had many defeats in his family after that, and he said, "Oh God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." I remember our church, we were going through some dark days back when Pastor Ware was the pastor. We were students at Baptist Bible College, and I remember some smart aleck person came up to the Pastor Ware, and he said, "Oh, why aren't you smiling?" He said, "Well, in war there are casualties," our pastor said. And then he said, "Well, what you need in this church is do this program and your church will be blessed." And he had some programming. And I remember the pastor said to me, "A program is not going to deliver us. God is bringing us through a time of chastisement. And we have to endure this chastening and God will bring us through." And I took note of him. He had a walk with God, our pastor. And you see, what you need to do is, you know, you are parents, and the Bible says you pity your children. You pity your children. When they get hurt, you pity your children when they're going through a hard time. And the Bible says, as a man pitieth his child, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And so you need to get God's attention and say, "I've been away from you, and look at this happen in my life, and look at that happen in my life. It's because of my sin. It's because I'm away from you. But Lord, I'm being defeated. It's so humbling, and it makes you look bad, and it's just not good, but it's my sin." And I'm saying, complain to God about your defeats. Call upon God to turn your heart back, but complain to God about your defeats. And look at verse 7. It says, "Turn us again, O Lord of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Hey, isn't that something we already looked at? Isn't that something repeated? Yeah. Look back at verse 3 and notice what he says there. "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." That's what we need. The great churches of the past that made America great were churches that when they lost seeing people really get saved, get baptized, winning others to Christ, they would turn back to God and say, "Lord, we need you to start saving people again. We need you to work again. We've left you, and you've left us." And they would sometime fast. They would pray. They would have seasons to seek God. And guess what? He would turn their heart back. And he would turn toward them. And he would bless them. And God's hand was upon them, and I am just saying tonight that I believe that that is something that you need to do. And I'm asking you a question tonight. Are you asking the Lord to turn you again, to turn your church again back to him? Then call to your God to turn your heart back. Number two, then complain to your God about the defeats, the sadness that you suffered simply because that your heart has gotten away from your first love. But there's a third thing. Are you asking the Lord to turn you again? Then consider your past victories, but your present defeats. Consider your past victories. Look at chapter 80 of the Psalm 80. And go with me to verse number 8. I'm going to read right through verse 11. You follow. He says, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills," verse 10, "were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about how God delivered Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. How he judged Pharaoh with the frogs and with the lice and with the boils and with the darkness. And finally with the killing of the firstborn. And how he brought his people out and drowned Pharaoh and all his army in the Red Sea after opening it up. And then bringing them into the land where they had bigger giants and enemies that were greater than them. But how God brought them in and they took over the land all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River on the east. All that land that they possessed under David, and this may have been David's song leader and a prophet saying that. And you know, there are times in your life where God blessed you. And he blessed you when you were walking with him. And there were times when God blessed the churches. And I think about what Dr. Ware used to say. He said, considering God's blessing, he said, "He, God, did it then. He, God, can do it again. He, God, uses men or does it for men." You know what? We talk about the past and how great America was in the days of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and the great revivals of the past. Can God do that again? I look at the life of Charlie Kirk. It's pretty amazing. Some things he's done. Can God do that for you in the independent fundamental Baptist movement? Can he do it here with our standards and with our people? But your heart is so important. And God wants you to ask God to get a hold of your heart. The heart is the most important. The Bible says this, "The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of him who has the best intellect." No. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of him who has the best looking face. No. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of him who has the most money. You know, Charlie Kirk never took any pay from Turning Point USA for 5 years. 5 years. He was not interested so much in money as his mission to turn America back to conservative values and back to Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, where's your heart? Where's your heart? God has done it before. He can do it again. But it says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him. And that doesn't mean you're perfect. It means your heart is wholehearted for him. He's number one. He's your all in all. He is your first love. And that was so true about this man and men of God. And that's what God wants for your life. And when that's not happening, notice what he says in verse 12 and 13. He says, "Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it." In other words, present defeats in your life, in the church, in your family, because you're really not asking the Lord seriously to turn your heart back again. If you were, you'd be calling upon the Lord to turn your heart back. If you were, you'd be complaining to God about your defeats and that nothing else is that important to you. If you were, then you'd consider the past victories that he's given to those whose hearts are perfect toward him, and your present defeats, because your heart is not where it should be, and you would be asking the Lord to turn your heart again. One more thing that I see here, and I'd like to call to your attention, is, are you asking the Lord to turn your heart again by calling to your God simply this, to turn your heart back for Christ's sake? Notice verse 14, if you will. He says, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine." Visit this vine. That's an interesting phrase. We have church visitation. How many of you have gone on church visitation? Yeah, you're visiting somebody and giving the gospel, and we need to do that. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about there's two kinds of ways that God visits you. This is not you visiting for God, it's God visiting you. And there's two ways. Number one, it's when God visits upon you spankings. You know, when somebody comes up to a child and the father or the mother says, "Okay, Dad's home. It's time now to get Dad to spank you." And you get the rod of correction on the seat of learning. You know, that's a visitation. He's visiting the wax on you. You know, you're getting it. Have you ever been visited that way by God? You know, that's one way that he visits you. And we may need it. But there is a second way he visits you, and he visits you to really open himself up to you so you can eat with him and drink with him and be close to him and have time with him. And that is when he visits you with his presence. When you're in church, he's so real that you can reach up and touch him. When you're reading your Bible and having your devotion, he's so real. It's so satisfying. How even when you go out on visiting, God is with you. He's working with you. You know that he's close to you. And that is what you need to call upon him for, to call upon him to turn your heart back for Christ's sake. And notice what it says here in verse 15. I want to call your attention to that. He says, "In the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself," verse 16, "it's burned with fire, it's cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance." Then notice verse 17, "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself." You know, God is saying here that you need to call upon God to turn your heart back for Christ's sake. Who is on God's right hand? Who is the Son of Man that's on God's right hand? It's Jesus. He's on the right hand of God. And he will visit you with his blessing and with his nearness for Jesus' sake. In other words, we can use the argument, "Lord, I've failed, I've sinned, you've withdrawn from me, but you love Jesus. I'm in Jesus. And because I'm in Jesus and because you love Jesus, Lord, let your love be made known in my life. Visit me and bless me because I'm in the one that's on your right hand." And the Bible says further that the pastors, the ones that are the messengers of the church that bring the message, they're in the right hand of Jesus. And Jesus has a message for you. And he's got something for you tonight. And I believe what he's got for you tonight that are here tonight from this psalm is, are you asking the Lord to give you back the right hand of the power of Jesus, of the presence of Jesus, of the joy of the Lord that is our strength? He will do it. So he says the reason he'll do it is so will not we go back from thee. Have you gotten right with God and walked, but you just did it for too little of a time? That you too quickly departed? Remember when Moses went up on the mount to get the law and the people departed very quickly and got into sin? Have you ever gone to church on Sunday and on Monday you were right into sin? He says, Lord, we need you to turn our heart back so we'll stay with it. So will we not go back from thee? Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. That is something to ask God for. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not so often because you're not asking for the right thing. But if you're asking God for this, for these things, not only that he would turn your heart back, listen to me, but that he would keep it steadfast, that he would stay as the first love, that he would be your first love, and it would be a steadfast thing. And so tonight, Psalm 80, are you asking the Lord to turn your heart again? If you are, then you'll be calling to your God, I believe, continually to turn your heart back. I believe you'll be complaining to him about how bad it is without the sense of his presence. I believe you'll be considering your past victories and your present defeats and tell him very honestly you need him back. And then you'll call to your God to turn your heart because of Jesus Christ, who's at his right hand, so that you can experience the old-time victories that come from the right hand, the powerful hand of God in the Lord Jesus. May God help you to do that. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed tonight. We've been asking that question, are you calling?